Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Here we go, hour two of Old School. Austin Orman, Jay Foreman with you till 6 o'clock here, 93.7 Ticket, ticketfm.com. See plenty of you rolling by 1040 O Street. Feel free to stop by the mill, wave on your way by here at 1040. We'd love to see you and say hi. Big thanks to the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Don't forget, you need some plans for supper tonight. Hit up the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Three Lincoln locations for you to get to, 84th and Havelock, 85th and Old Cheney or Andromat, I should say, and then 30th and Yankee Hill here in Lincoln, and then 162nd and Maple up in Omaha. Get your correct cut of meat. They got every type of meat and every cut. So make sure you go get you some for your supper plans tonight. Some breaking-ish news out of the Big Ten. Pete Thamel reporting this for ESPN alongside Dan Wetzel. Big Ten discussing $2 billion private capital deal. Just ripping the first few paragraphs here from Thamel and Wetzel. The Big Ten is in discussions about a private capital deal that would infuse at least $2 billion to the league and its schools, sources told ESPN on Wednesday. The discussions include a 10-year extension of the league's grant of rights until 2046, which would ensure long-term stability in the Big Ten. According to sources, the private capital deal and grant of rights extension have been discussed for months and presented in multiple forms. A deal in the grant of rights extension would also be a distinct blow to the outside entities attempting to form super leagues around college sports. While there is support from nearly the entire league, according to sources, a few of the league's biggest brands, including Ohio State and Michigan, are still in discussions with the league. The aim is to have unanimous support before a vote.
Well, the vote's already in. They're just trying to get the overlords to okay it.
Okay, an extra percent or two going to Ohio State. Exactly. Michigan, a percent or two less going to Purdue.
Exactly, which is in their right. I guess Oregon and Penn State probably fit in there, but not to the same magnitude. The Ohio State and Michigan are the two OGs of the Big Ten, and the two most recent national champions. They have all the bargaining power. Somebody that we know has said this was coming. Somebody that we know has said college football will shortly become European soccer type of model. Somebody has said that whatever the top number of teams are, the bottom six or eight to six will be regulated or deregulated, and the top six to eight or maybe four or whatever will be able to regulate themselves up there, and it all be predicated around deals like this, private equity deals that can plug the holes for some universities that are in some financial troubles. We saw the article that, which obviously this is not Big Ten related, but just a distant redheaded cousin in Ohio State that, or not Ohio State, but Iowa State was having some trouble. You know, with the Big 12 is able to jump on something like this at a lower level, is able to help schools like that. There's schools within the Big 10 that are very good football schools or just very good athletics, you know, in athletic, that are struggling. And it's a combination of not only this whole revenue sharing, NIL collectives or lack of money there. It's also some state politics and stuff like that, funding and, you know, taking stuff from, you know, enrollment and all that. So deals like this is right on the point. I think when you look at it, I think Penn State in the summer, I think they sold the rights to their field or the stadium.
Yeah, that sounds right.
The field, right?
Something like that.
Yeah. So that's that. When something like that happens, it's almost like when they flash something out on national TV, I always say the movies. The movies get you ready for what's coming, right? We haven't seen any big alien ships come over yet. They probably stay away from Nebraska, but anyways, that's the first one to see what the reaction was. There wasn't a lot of like waves, bad in a bad way. Now you got this private equity money. Now, obviously, then what's going to make people mad? They got to decide where it's coming. It's probably coming from Dubai, right? Or like over there. But it doesn't matter. It's going to help keep college football as it is right now, you know, above water, because I think they projected as a Big Ten, with the way it was going, it wasn't sustainable for every Big Ten team. Mm-hmm. And also, I like it for the Big Ten. This is the perfect time, as long as Michigan and Ohio State don't, you know, drag their feet. They've tried to strategically bump themselves up ahead of the SEC, whereas a few years ago, the SEC was in control. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what happened? Nick Saban's gone. I wouldn't say you're done, but you lost a ton of leverage. Mm-hmm. You even see it.
Saban gone, Vortex open, money flowing.
Here comes, no matter what, here comes Michigan national champion. Here comes Ohio State national champion. And this is the perfect time if you're the first one for private equity to kind of be more solid. So if there is a changing of the guard in 4 or 5 years down the road, you're coming in with my game plan already ready to go.
More from the ESPN article. The private capital company would get money back through the new entity through annual distribution in proportion with its financial stake. The Big Ten will essentially have 20 equity shares comprising the 18 schools, the league, and whoever this investor is. Sources told ESPN this setup eliminates the need to give an outside investor a specific portion of control over decisions or board seats, something that college presidents have generally been uncomfortable with. One of the Big Ten sources told ESPN, think of it this way. The conference is not selling a piece of the conference. Traditional conference functions would remain 100% with the conference office, scheduling, officiating, and championships. The new entity being created would focus on business development, and it would include an outside investor with a small financial stake. Do you believe that?
No.
That was quick. Why don't you believe that?
Negative, Ghostwriter, because it's never what they tell you it is. It's always something else. This is the idea. Mm-hmm. And then when it gets done, people flex their muscle. That's too easy. Nothing with the NCAA or college football has been easy. Right? Mm-hmm. And it's never been done this quick. This is the initial start, you know, process. But at the end of the day, you know, there's going to be a lot of money coming into the Big Ten. And they're trying to, you know, and I get it where the Big Ten, it's commendable where like, okay, look, we're going to protect our universities to where we can control our destiny. But then we're also going to show and allow them, the big billionaires to come in that are going to give some money, seat at the table. They will not control it, but they will be a part of the profits, which probably is the main reason what they want to do.
Before we move on to some more really interesting stuff, including a comment from Nebraska Athletic Director Troy Dannon here in this article, the part that kind of stood out to me, Jay, was the Big Ten will essentially have 20 equity shares comprising the 18 schools, the league, and this investor. Which leads me to wonder this. Let's say European soccer model is coming to college football, or we keep a similar system what we have now. Could, hypothetically, in this system, the Big Ten buy out the four worst teams that doesn't want in, the four most underperforming brands, and say, hey, here's some money for your trouble, but we can do better. We're going to buy you out. You're not a member of the Big Ten anymore. And then have other schools buy in. Could that be on the table?
It could be, man. But Northwestern got that long money, though.
That's what I'm saying. And Purdue.
Yeah. You could. Yeah. But
Rutgers. Maryland.
But man, I'm telling you, man, is you got to be very quick. Listen, that's the problem. You know, there's a
Iowa.
I always call it power, money, and PMS. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say the last one. When you get that power and that money, and then you start to kind of try to push somebody out, they come back and bite you in the butt. Don't be so quick to jump through hoops and start playing a role for you guys. The money's going to be there, so you don't have to change anything.
Right.
Now, sure, could we go pluck off? It'd be great if we could go pluck off the teams this year, Miami and Florida State, like we had talked about, or say Duke and North Carolina. Okay, that's a no-brainer. Chances of that happening, slim and none.
But would you rather try to pick off a Louisville?
No. That's not, come on, man. It's Louisville. That's just
for football, would you rather pluck off a Louisville or Purdue?
Yeah, right now. Sure. But does that fit your model? And really, is it worth the money? Is the juice worth the squeeze? Is Louisville going to do something to the magnitude that's going to be significantly different than Purdue?
Okay, SMU. Football. Talk about long money.
Yeah, now that bread come with SMU. That's a different story now. Louisville, I would think I'd punt. But I could see
just
it.
Throw names out there.
Yeah, I could see something like that. I could see a team like that. I mean.
Here's the other reason I asked that, Jay. Because two paragraphs down from where we stopped reading says this. One of the philosophies behind the move is that the Big Ten believes its ability to generate revenue holistically has been underserved, and they'd be sharing a small percentage of greater profits back to the outside investor. So instead of each team doing its free-for-all, you know, each school going out and getting its own jersey patch sponsor, have one jersey sponsor for all 18 teams. That's part of the Big Ten's thinking here. And then here's this. This reads as a very ACC sentence. It also helps the league potentially better scale and leverage its 18 members. Going back to right what we said at the beginning.
Yeah.
Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, Penn State, you get more.
Yeah.
Bottom-tier teams, you get less. Scaling and leveraging, that's what leads me to believe there's a world in which the Big Ten would buy out some of its underperforming members.
Yeah, but some of these schools that you think you're on a good footing, you get that call. You get that call that you got to go to the Big Ten offices. Don't worry. And we're flying you out there, too. It'd be like A.A. Ron went to the Jets.
Turn in your playbook.
How do you want this to read? You gone, so we can make you look as good as bad as possible, but you ain't a Big Ten member no more. You got to be careful. Like, I can tell you this. If I am not one of the – and it lets you know that Nebraska is in good standing because they got Troy in here.
Let's read the Troy Dannon quote here. As a micro example of that, Nebraska athletic director Troy Dannon was quoted in an AP article last week on the looming discussion of teams wearing corporate logos on their jerseys. Dannon said, if you jump in now, and I'm going to get a little bit because of the jersey patches, I would really like to see if there's an opportunity for our conference to put all those jersey patch rights together, and all of a sudden they're worth a whole lot more to the institutions when 18 are playing instead of just one.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. But, man, I'm going to tell you this, though. I learned this from last week. Boy, you had that reunion. It's hard to get everybody in line. And especially when you got the Hatfield and the McCoys. There's Ohio State in Michigan. I think if everybody.
But in this case, they want the same thing.
They want the same thing. But does one want more than the other? In the same category. One's going to want 1% more than the other.
But do you think that's the discussion going on now? Or probably. Do you think this could be revisited? Like, if Michigan and Ohio State can both say, we deserve more if we've carried the standard for this conference. I think it could be revisited,
but you got to get it. You got to get that.
Give me a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and I'll get 1% more than them down the line. You say yes to both schools, and you deal with that when it comes.
Yeah, that could work, but I think Ohio State and Michigan will want to know where the parameters are because they're in constant competition. But I think
who do you give the extra percent to?
Right now?
Overall.
I would probably say Ohio State just based on Michigan won the national championship, but it brought a lot of drama with it.
Michigan's better academically. Yeah, the Big Ten claims to care about that.
This is not about academics anymore. That's why if it is, then Purdue's not going anywhere. I just think it's coming. I like it. Everybody getting paid. And it's got to be a team effort. I think you got to get the decision makers together. So that's the presidents, the athletic directors, chancellors, I'm assuming whoever else. For every university, you got to have like a big powwow.
And they'll take it back to their board of regents or whatever.
And you got to figure out that this is what we have to do. And you got to have somebody out there that's going to really be able to articulate clearly where college football is going. Not where you think it's going.
Where it is.
This is where it's going. Listen. So let's be ahead of the curve and take advantage of it. You could really take over college football in a lot of ways, at least in your mind. And then obviously getting ahead of this because Nick Saban's gone. Mm-hmm. There's nothing against DeBoer or nothing. But I'm telling you, Nick Saban, he probably done more backdoor deals and getting stuff done than anybody even knows.
For his players, his conference, his school.
Other schools that he even doesn't like, other coaches that he doesn't like. There's coaches that he probably made some things happen for that he necessarily
didn't want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you heard the story about when he needed to get to the airport, right? And he had practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. He called the state police or something, the dude over there. He said, hey, you got anybody in the area that he wants to work some overtime? I need to get to the airport. I got a recruiting trip, but I got to finish up practice. So they shut down the whole highway
for him to get to the airport.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Guarantee you, if Nick Saban was a head coach for Ole Miss or somebody last year, I guarantee they're in the college football playoffs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that lets you know that this is the perfect time for everybody, athletic directors and everybody else, to take advantage.
Couple more things from this ESPN article, and then one other kind of thought on it. From ESPN, the potentially groundbreaking plan, which has been presented across the 18-member conference over the last few months, calls for immediate cash payments to each school, the amount based on a formula that factors in numerous variables, including current budgets. The amount of those payments is still being discussed, but the basic format is believed to be tiered. All schools in the league are expected to receive at least a 9-figure amount up front. The final financial details are still being discussed, as bigger brands are expected to receive more money.
Hey, man.
They're telling you straight up.
Hey. That's what, hey, money will get your attention. It'll make some decisions for you. Mm-hmm. You will do things when you get, because you can't say no.
To 9 figures up front? Are you kidding me? No. You're taking that in a heartbeat.
You better. That's how you lose your
job.
You're
signing so fast, it might not even be on the dotted
line.
You
lose your job if you didn't take the money up front, right?
Right.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do. This is just to make sure that we have a deal.
Mm-hmm.
I'll holler at you next week. Yeah, you got to do what you got to do. And you know what? This type of money and what you want to get done, there's no reason to hide it. So you might as well just go ahead and find the best way to come to terms with it and make the most of it.
On that front, the Big Ten has also been kind of prodding along in this direction in two different ways, Jay. Number one, the whole Venmo rivalry series that no one knows about because it's so dumb and stupid and pointless, except that it's an infusion of cash. The first game in this Venmo rivalry series was Oregon-Penn State. Schools have played 5 times before last weekend, so now 6 yeah. times in school history. Okay, look at that. Here's an infusion of cash. Name something after us.
Yeah.
Okay, the other games, Michigan State, Indiana, Purdue, Northwestern, Ohio State, Wisconsin. You kidding me? Minnesota, Iowa, okay, Michigan State, fine. Penn State, Ohio State, maybe a rivalry, but not deep-seated. That's a 20 or 30-year yeah. thing. Maryland, Rutgers, come on. Penn State, Michigan State, underrated, but come on. Michigan, Maryland, on and on down the list, right? And then you're going to take this rivalry series, and it's also going to apply to men's and women's basketball this coming season. Those games haven't been announced yet. But guess what? They're doing the same thing in volleyball. The Discover Volleyball Challenge.
Yeah.
You're doing the worst, just base level, like fake NBA in-season tournament deal for two big financial partners. It's pointless. It's stupid. Nobody gains anything from it. There's not a trophy. There's not really standings. There's not points. No one knows about this. No one cares about this. But hey, we got money from our sponsors, so we'll designate these random games as part of these challenges.
As part of, look, it's no different when you're the commissioner of the NFL or NBA. You got to make money, and you got to make sure, you know, all these schools are whole, because all 18 teams, or, you know, however many teams you have in your conference, is better for everybody, and that's what you have to do. So if you have to have this fake trophy or fake series in order to do so, so be it. I think it's probably easier to do that versus having the DraftKings open or whatever, right? Or, you know, so
maybe even, DraftKings is the $2 billion sponsor.
Yeah, maybe we'll so. And, you know, so I think it's on its way. And, you know, just like the college football playoffs going from 4 to, you know, 12 and 12 to 16, eventually when you start seeing articles and stuff written, and you got tangible quotes and money, and, you know, we're going to give you upfront money. It's happening. I'd just rather you just do it by next Monday versus wait, you know, but there's always something going on. We said this before the season, right? We talked about 12 to 16, and mm-hmm. I said the same thing. There's going to be something else along the line that's going to come down. And here we are, 5 weeks into the season.
Here
we're
go.
On the way to European soccer.
Let's see here. 1727 says, hate to be a negative Nelly, but at some point in time, this money monster of college sports, especially football, is going to come screeching to a halt when some public institution taxpayer Sue's wanting their piece of the pie.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be the reason. I think the reason it will blow up is because it'll be like donor fatigue, money fatigue, how much money, because then it would be, you won't get what either the kids are getting paid for. They won't be very good. Product won't be very good, and you'll get tired of it. Because now, how much more money people are thinking out here? Now, obviously, people out here are different levels. You know, people out here struggling. How much more money do you need to put into college football? Right? You're going to start, then people are going to start questioning why you're putting so much money into college football. So I think, you know, eventually you got to turn the faucet off and just start working on the product. But you can't turn away from this type of money. But I do think eventually a lot of things are going to change or stop. Because on the flip side, the only way is going to be, I don't know when this is going to happen. You're going to have to unionize, but it's hard in college football. It's hard. It's too many. So many. So then back to the different leagues, it's going to be different levels of unions. Yeah. You know, percentages of what your benefits are. That's the only way this continuous of just, you know, it's like printing funny money, man. It's like you're playing Monopoly out here and you got, you know, two or three sets of, Monopoly cash cows. So we'll see what happens.
Last thing before we go to break, call Bevan Blando of the Omaha World Herald. Mark on our Starter Heyman Jewelers text line. On the subject of money, how do we get more parity in college football? Like the NFL, games are so close every Sunday, but it seems like the rich get richer in college football, like that new deal you just described. It depends on what level you're looking at parity. There's not really a whole lot of parity in high school recruiting rankings, but there's really never been parity in high school recruiting rankings. There's parity in the transfer portal. I mean, look at Texas Tech, what they were able to do, and it's paying off for them in that way. Yeah, the Big Ten and the SEC are going to be the richest conferences for the foreseeable future, unless, you know, Brett Yormark or Jim Phillips really pull something out of a hat to boost the Big 12 or the ACC. But let's not forget that Vanderbilt is 5-0 and game day is going there. Indiana has been in the top 10, in back-to-back years. Virginia just beat Florida State. And again, that's another school that splashed some cash around. So
parity is here.
But really, it's in the regular season because you're still going to have your Ohio States. I mean, SMU, Boise, what have you, were fun stories last year. But at the end of the day, Ohio State still won the championship because they were built to win in the tournament setting because they have the depth of talent, right? The Wild West in parity is more for the regular season, and then you typically see the cream rise to the top.
You see the cream rise to the top, but then also you see guys that are on like second and third tier teams, even though part of the parity, they're going to, you know, opt out and go to the league. So, you know, really, if you're really worried about parity, you want it in a regular season because that's what, I mean, look, there's 12 games. That's more than, you know, the college football playoff series. And so it's on its way. It's there. I think what you're going to see is you have to, I'm a firm believer, evaluation of talent has to go up.
Yeah.
But it can't go up until the development of football skills and acumen and knowledge of football goes up. Mm-hmm. So whoever decides to get out of their own way and start like investing in that, you know what I mean?
There's your advantage.
Mm-hmm. Straight up. I mean, you remember when KD was at the Golden State Warriors, they had Steve Nash as like a consultant or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And nobody even knew about it until he got the Nets job.
Right.
So, and Jason Kidd is what, you better get some guys in there that can kind of do your job for you while you're able to go continue to get the next Jay Foreman out of the recruiting portal or wherever the heck you get him. Because if you're not, somebody will, or they will, and you won't, and you'll be on the outside looking in.
Speaking of Jason Kidd, my man Cooper Flagg looked good in day one of training camp. Another story for another day. We'll talk some more college football and Husker with Evan Blaine of the Omaha World Herald next on Old School.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Here we are. It is Old School, rolling along through hour two, about the midway point of the show. We are headed to our Aloe Fiber VIP line, where we are joined by Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald. Evan, a happy October to you. We're in the 10th month. How did the bye week that was, of course, still busy treat you?
Stayed, pretty busy. I kind of feel like I was, I suppose, like the Nebraska players and coaches, though, on Saturday. Watched a ton of football and snuck in a little baseball and, I guess mentally refreshed to get back to it here this week.
On the baseball front, I don't know if I know your MLB team.
I am a Cubs fan. I would not mind if they got some runs here. They're in the eighth inning looking for something.
Still 3-0 pods?
3-0 pods. Yeah, they just, Mason Miller threw 104 mile an hour fastball in the corner for a strikeout last inning. So that's, alien type stuff right there. But yeah, just looking for any kind of a run here at this point.
I have been told 104 on the black is tough to hit. I hope I never have to confirm that for myself. Good to know that you're a Cubs fan. I'll file that away for future reference. While we're on baseball and the topic, Nebraska baseball, we got a schedule for Nebraska here, starting with what you described as a monster February slate. Walk people through what's on tap for Will Bolton, his crew in February.
Yeah, I mean, we'll kind of figure out what some of the games are for the MLB Desert Invite. That's their opening weekend event. They played there last year down in the Phoenix area and played Vanderbilt and UC Irvine and Grand Canyon. And so we'll see what the field is. They probably won't announce that for a couple of months still, but that'll be challenging. And then you go to Globe Life Field in Dallas, home of the Texas Rangers, and you face Louisville and Kansas State and Florida State, all of which have been in super regionals in the last couple of years. Louisville was a CWS team a year ago. And then really the intriguing thing for me most of all is that they are going to go play Auburn at Auburn for three to end the month. And that's pretty rare. Like they had a home and home with Alabama in 2007, but Nebraska baseball really otherwise has never done this with an SEC school. So they've played difficult weekends before, but I can't think of a time when they played two or they're going to have played two regional style weekends against a really, you know, stacked fields, and then chase that by going to Auburn, a team that was a top five national seed a year ago. So, you know, that's always the challenge for Nebraska, is to start strong, especially as it goes to warmer weather climates, but especially this year. It's going to end up probably with a top 40 or better strength of schedule in the non-conference. And what an opportunity it's got early on if it can win some of those.
The other part that you mentioned in your breakdown of top, besides those high-level games, is even getting into Big Ten conference play, not going to be an easy road for Nebraska. You do know that they miss out on UCLA, but pretty much everyone else in the top two-thirds of the conference is going to be on Nebraska's schedule, making it seemingly more important for the Huskers to have some sort of, you know, positive momentum coming out of February, turning the corner into Big Ten play.
Yeah, it's the second year of the 17-team Big Ten, so now you're playing 10 opponents and you're missing six. And so, you know, like you said, really Nebraska's playing everybody that finished way up there in the RPI last year outside of UCLA. Incidentally, UCLA is going to be the league favorite next year. They've got the player of the year back, and Rod Chalowski, the shortstop, he's going to be a high-end draft pick next summer. But other than that, I mean, it's a challenging slate. They go to Oregon. I think their home slate's pretty interesting. You have Indiana that comes in, and Penn State, who Nebraska's seen in the Big Ten tournament the last couple of years, and USC making its first ever trip to Lincoln, which should be kind of fun. So, I mean, it is. It's a little bit more of a grind now with the West Coast schools that are a part of this thing. And I think they saw last year, like, those schools came in and established themselves quickly. And so, you know, Nebraska was a middle of the pack team in the regular season. Obviously they got hot in the tournament and won that, but it's definitely a new level of challenge there too. So like when you talk about that February that they have, and now you have two additional weekends of Big Ten play when it's as strong as the league's ever been, it really does add up to where you're going to have opportunities a whole bunch, especially in those first two and a half months for Nebraska, if they can win some of those games, certainly the quality of opponent's going to give them the benefit of the doubt once you get into postseason resume time in late May.
The other thing to talk about with Nebraska baseball is that they have a fall scrimmage in the books, went down to Wichita, ended up beating Wichita State. I see the box score is broken down into two separate eight-inning games. Nebraska takes the first one 17-10 and the second eight innings by a score of 2-0. Anything stand out to you from anything you heard, saw, or observed from the box score from Nebraska's scrimmage against the Shockers?
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm curious how they are going to score and where that offense comes from. So, like, when you see Jet Buck hit two home runs and drive in six, like, that gets your attention. He was somebody who they brought in as a D2 transfer thinking that Dylan Carey was going to go pro. And when he didn't get that opportunity, now you're in a situation where Carey's back. Jet Buck is able to play other places. So we'll see where he ends up. He could be in the outfield. He could be somewhere else in the infield. But you have a day like that against Wichita State, like, that'll certainly play and get your attention. And that second eight-inning game, Case Sanderson goes deep, which was notable. And you know, he showed a little bit more power than he had had. Cole Kitchens, the transfer, comes, who they brought in for his power bat, shows off with a home run too. So I think that's where you start. You look at some of the younger guys that have had good summers and falls, and that carried over. I mean, Jeter Worthley had a good game, the freshman from Lincoln East, and Drew Grego had a really strong summer, and he gets a couple of hits as well. So you feel pretty good about that. And then, you know, on the pitching side, they threw a bunch of guys out there. Like, nobody threw more than two innings, and so it's hard to glean too much. I suppose the main takeaway really is that maybe there is going to be strength in terms of depth of arms for Nebraska, especially that second eight-inning affair when they, you know, posted a shutout. So it's an interesting group where you figure Ty Horn and Cooper Katsky are probably going to be your first two guys in the weekend rotation, but a whole bunch of other stuff yet to be figured out. Who, you know, who's the Sunday guy? How does your bullpen shape up? Who's in the midweek? And so early on, at least, it's looking like they're going to have a lot of options there, and certainly a lot of baseball yet to be played before they start defining those roles in January and early February.
Who's on Sunday and who's in the midweek? Feel like we've asked that question a time or two on this very show, Evan.
Yeah, we have. And, you know, there have been times when they didn't know. Like, it was like, draw a name out of a hat on Tuesday. It feels like they have more options in that regard now, which is kind of strange to say considering the hit they took in the draft and, you know, from their current roster from last year as well as out of high school. But I think they feel good about some of the freshmen that had kind of a trial by fire experience, and they feel like they brought in some transfers as well who can make a big difference. So you never know. Like, sometimes these exhibitions and even the red white can be kind of deceiving in that regard, but it does feel like they have a number of guys as possibilities for those roles when it comes time.
We're talking with Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald. He's with us on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. Well, it's 1-2 and potentially three strikes and you're out for Nebraska football against mobile quarterbacks. Evan, another one on tap for Husker football. Brendan Sorsby runs for 90 yards. Bryce Underwood has a long touchdown run. Now another quarterback with some dual threat ability for Nebraska in Aiden Childs. What'd you take away from hearing from Nebraska's defensive coordinator, John Butler, and players on that side of the ball in how important this bye week was and their approach against Aiden Childs coming up on Saturday?
I mean, I think they have a healthy respect for him for sure. He's, you know, a little bit different than Sorsby and Underwood in the sense that, like, he's done this now for a couple of years. He's I think this is his 16th consecutive start. You look at his numbers, I mean, Matt Rhule called him a thinking man's quarterback, and like, that's not a term that you would maybe associate with a guy who's just going to drop back and scramble around, and I don't think Childs is that kind of guy. Like, you watch some Michigan State games and he's a pro style quarterback who happens to have some wheels, and he'll roll out of the pocket, and his first inclination from what I've seen is he wants to throw it downfield more than tuck it and run. And it's not to say that he won't tuck it and run and that he's got some speed and can do that, but I think certainly more so than Sorsby, he's predisposed to wanting to pass, and his numbers reflect that. I mean, 9 touchdown passes, 1 interception, He was a highly regarded prospect out of high school who followed Jonathan Smith from Oregon State to Michigan State. So, I mean, it's going to be a threat, and it's another one of those weeks where Nebraska's defense is going to have to account for that and the possibility that third and medium, third and long, you know, Childs isn't afraid to tuck it and convert it with his legs. So it helps, I think, Nebraska that they've experienced that kind of quarterback twice, and they've, you know, had hit and miss success against Sorsby and Underwood. I thought maybe what Riley Van Poppel said early this week was like the key when you with those kind of guys is like, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly, like have conviction. You can't sort of, you know, chop step and wonder what that quarterback's going to do. Like you have to have conviction in how you do things and be gap sound. So that's the challenge, I think, for Nebraska's D line and for its linebackers alike. You know, hopefully for their sake, they learned some lessons from those first two games and are able to keep him a little bit more contained.
Van Poppel's quote echoes to me of what John Butler said in the main studio or main stage there about how pass defense can be about scheme. You can mix up your coverages and throw different looks. Run defense is about attitude. And he said, not that the attitude was bad before, they can always get better and just need guys to get off of blocks. Sounds kind of reductive, but it also might not be wrong. I'm curious to see if Nebraska's work that both coordinators spoke very highly of yesterday actually comes to fruition on Saturday against Michigan State.
Yeah, especially coming off a bye week, like you really kind of got the sense that there was some self-evaluation that went on. And usually you have that extra week to look at yourself, look at your opponent, like you'll be able to change some things. And I think the defensive line and that defensive front seven especially is interesting to me, Austin, because some of it's scheme, a little bit of it's scheme. I mean, they talked last week about how they haven't been finishing stunts and different things schematically that they want to do. But I think a lot of the talk this week has come back to effort, physicality, and, you know, desire, want to, whatever you want to call it. And it, by all accounts, that's what manifested during the bye week, where Nebraska was practicing in a very physical way, and, you know, more physical than you would typically expect for a team on a bye week. So I think they understand that that's what their identity has to be. That has to be the recipe for them hanging in the trenches in the Big Ten. And, you know, we'll see kind of what that personnel grouping looks like. Maybe they open it up to a few more people. I think Matt Rhule hinted that you might see some more contributors in larger roles, but it does seem like the bigger driving point for them right now has been that effort piece, that physicality piece. They didn't feel like they were that against Michigan. Let's see if they can turn that around against Michigan State.
There was that on the defensive end, but also similar sentiments on the offensive end. I thought it was enlightening hearing from Dana Holgorsen about how, even more so than the self-scout watch our own film, Dana Holgorsen showed his offense what they need to be, and that's Michigan in terms of finishing blocks in the way they approached it. And I like that he qualified it too. That's not a shot at our O-line. That's a shot at our offense, because there are so many people that are involved in it. And then he went on to talk about his idea of balance. And Evan, that was music to my ears, right? Call plays in the flow of the game. I'm not a, you know, run the dang ball guy. I mean, I'm a Madden generation kid, right? I'm okay with the 300 passing yard games from Nebraska on a more consistent basis. But even I can admit that Nebraska's run game is pretty average right now. What's your level of intrigue and confidence in the development of Nebraska's run game with a bye week as they head into October?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where I think Saturday is going to tell quite a bit, because Michigan made the run game look very average and really below average. Like I didn't realize in the moment, I had to go back and see the last time they were held to that few rushing yards was Michigan 2018. Mm-hmm. That was the rock bottom Scott Frost game. And so like, I didn't in the moment think it was that bad, but it was. And so how much of that was the Wolverine front seven and those guys, how much of that was the struggles that Nebraska's O-line's going through, particularly at the tackle spot. You know, I think we're going to get a good sense of that on Saturday. I'm still of the belief that this can be a pretty good offensive line. Like I think, especially on the interior, you feel really pretty good about what that group can be. It's a bunch of veteran, strong, you know, convicted, smart guys in there doing work. And yeah, they might have some things to figure out at the tackle spots. We'll see what the situation is like out there on Saturday. We'll probably learn some things, but I think you gotta certainly give Emmett Johnson the chance to run, because you can't live on 40 to 45 passes every week from Dylan Raiola, no matter how talented he is. Like, you just have to have more diversity in your offensive approach if you're Nebraska. So I think you got to get back to running it somewhat. I appreciate what Dana Holgorsen says when he says that we're not just going to run the ball for the sake of balance. Like, I'm going to run plays that work. And so this could be a week where you exploit Michigan State's pass defense, which is not very good. That could be the recipe this week, but I do still think you need to inspire a little bit more confidence in the ground game from what you had, just to give your opposing defenses something else to worry about here for this stretch coming up.
Our conversation did not inspire the Cubs to score any more runs. I tried to distract you, tried to get the Cubs on the board. Didn't work so far, Evan, but I'll let you lock back in for the ninth inning and see if you can't fly that W into the NLDS anyways. Thanks, as always, for your time.
You got it. Rally cap time. Thanks, Austin.
Evan joined us on our VIP line, brought to you by Aloe Fiber. That's where they understand the importance of exceptional service with local heart. 6-1, guards take down the Tigers, forcing a winner-take-all game 3. Padres lead the Cubs 3-0, top of the ninth at Wrigley. San Diego gets one more chance to bat here on the top of the ninth. Cubs have Rogers on the mound looking to have the hold and give his offense one more chance. We'll wrap up Hour 2 of Old School. Get ready, though. 10 minutes from now, Whiteboard Wednesday. Jay Foreman at the helm, breaking down a staple play for Michigan State. All that ahead on Old School.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Hey, Husker fans. MAC-10 is turning up the excitement this season. They're giving away a pair of Husker volleyball tickets, and every time you tan, you're entered to win. Experience the 2025 season tour featuring high-pressure tanning, rejuvenating red light therapy, and flawless spray tanning, all for just $20.25. Look good, feel amazing, and cheer on the Lady Huskers in style. Max Tan, take it to the max.
This is Rick Heyman with Sartor Hamann Jewelers. Sartor Hamann is celebrating 120 years, and you could win big. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram for your chance to win a $120 gift certificate every week. That's right, we're giving away $120 every week as a thank you for being part of our story. Don't miss your chance to treat yourself. Follow Sartor Hamann Jewelers today, celebrating 120 years. Sartor Hamann, when only the best will do.
Are you looking for an exciting new way to put your skills to work? Explore new career options in the fintech industry at Currency, a Sand Hills global company. We offer full-time positions in financial sales, compliance, operations, and other fields. We also offer a 4.5-day work week, an attractive benefits package, and opportunities for advancement. Put your motivation to work and grow with us at Currency. Visit gocurrency.com/careers to learn more.
Wall-to-Wall Wine and Spirits is your place in North Lincoln to go for all your needs in wine, spirits, and beer. They also have a large variety of cigars in their walk-in humidor, and they have a top-notch walk-in temperature-controlled high-end wine room. Plus, you can enjoy free samples from their tasting bar. There's only one place to go for all your needs for spirits and cigars. That's Wall-to-Wall Wine and Spirits on North 27th Street in Lincoln.
Ready to score big with your projects? Look no further than Edward Stone, the MVP of natural stone for over 2 decades. Edward Stone is cranking out over 30,000 square feet every week and offers a winning lineup of over 70 quality natural veneer stone selections. Their unbeatable variety and experienced team will ensure your project is a success, whether it's a home renovation or a commercial build. And hey, they're not just about stone. They've got an all-star lineup of fireplaces, cast stone, brick, and much more. Swing by one of their locations in Lincoln or Omaha today and experience the Edward Stone difference, your reliable choice for over 20 years.
A lot of businesses say they're family focused, but when tough situations in life arise, the business wants anything but your best interests. James Enterprise Incorporated is hiring, and they will always treat their employees like family, just as they do their customers. James Enterprise Incorporated is hiring Class A and B CDL drivers, a shop tech, and a diesel mechanic. If you're looking for a career with a company that goes above and beyond to value you and your family, apply today at jamesenterpriseinc.com or call 402 432-6740.
Imagine starting your day with a computer glitch that leaves you feeling stuck, frustrated, and unable to get your work done. You have a million and one things to get done today, and waiting for the tech issue to solve itself isn't one of them. It's time to let Hamilton handle the tech so you don't have to. We help businesses across the state spend more time on what they do best and less time frustrated with office technology. As the official business IT partner of the Huskers, we're focused on providing custom solutions that set you up for success now and in the future. Connect with us today at HamiltonIsBusiness.com.
This is Rick Heyman with Sarter Heyman Jewelers. Sarter Heyman is celebrating 120 years, and you could win big. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram for your chance to win a $120 gift certificate every week. That's right. We're giving away $120 every week as a thank you for being part of our story. Don't miss your chance to treat yourself. Follow Sarter Heyman Jewelers today. Celebrating 120 years. Sarter Heyman, when only the best will do.
Austin Norman here. Join me and Jay Foreman for Old School, live from Cornhusker Bank at 83rd and O this Friday for their customer appreciation tailgate party. Larry the Cable Guy will join us during the show, and there's free food and refreshments. We'll be out there for the show starting at 3. You're invited to join us from 4 to 6 p.m. this Friday for Cornhusker Bank's customer appreciation tailgate party, only at Cornhusker Bank on 83rd and O.
Mike, the insurance company wants us to replace the roof.
Wait, what? I thought everything was fine.
Yeah, it says right here our roof is too old and they won't be able to cover us anymore.
I guess it is 15 years old. Hi, I'm Austin with Roofing Service Company. We help homeowners with their roofing and siding projects. Financing options are available, and we can get you under a new roof no time at all. If this sounds like you, visit roofingservicecompany.com. That is roofingservicecompany.com.
Salt Mine City is your go-to brewery in the Haymarket for craft beers and great food. Enjoy a full menu of great items daily for lunch and dinner, like their big fatty 7-ounce hamburger or a Reuben sandwich served on Blackstone rye bread. And don't forget their beef or chicken nachos with guacamole, sour cream, jalapenos, and more. Wash it down with one of their 12 beers on tap, including the popular single-axle light American lager. Salt Mine City, now open 2 p.m. Monday through Thursday and 11 a.m. Friday through Sunday at 8th and R.
Are you looking for an exciting new way to put your skills to work? Explore new career options in the fintech industry at Currency, a Sand Hills global company. We offer full-time positions in financial sales, compliance, operations, and other fields. We also offer a 4.5-day work week, an attractive benefits package, and opportunities for advancement. Put your motivation to work and grow with us at Currency. Visit gocurrency.com/careers to learn more.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Wrapping up hour two of Old School. Don't forget, coming up in just about 5 or 6 minutes, we have Whiteboard Wednesday. Jay Foreman breaking down a play from Michigan State's game against USC. This segment of the show brought to you by Love Volleyball Nebraska. Recently rebranded from Love Volleyball Omaha to Love Volleyball Nebraska. You can renew your season tickets or secure them for the first time by visiting lovb.com. That makes sure you secure your seats to watch Olympians, national team players, former national champions, and former Huskers all take the court for Love Volleyball Nebraska. Jay, this one's hitting a little close to home for me. On Sunday, the Indianapolis Colts will sign Shaq Darius Leonard to essentially a one-day contract for him to retire as a member of the organization. He'll speak to the team, do the whole anvil hitting thing that the Colts do before the game. Going to be a pretty cool moment, I think, for Colts fans. I mean, that's a guy drafted in the second round out of South Carolina State, made his way up from seemingly nothing, four-time All-Pro in consecutive seasons. Then a little injury, a little spat with the organization. He gets released, cut, traded, gone from the organization, out of football not long after. Hall of Fame trajectory before the injury. Not the best end to his time in Indianapolis. But man, those 4 years were special out of the FCS product.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for him and the Colts just because it's kind of like almost the defensive version of Andrew Luck. I mean, and they handled it the same way, unfortunately, is that you know, he came from HBCU and had humble beginnings, and he used that as motivation. And obviously, he definitely outlasted any prediction on his future. And he came in, and anytime you can be all pro, that's actually better than being a pro bowler. I mean, when you talk to guys that have played. And for him to be, I think, a three-time All-Pro or maybe four.
Three-time first team, then one-time second team.
Right, so he was four-time All-Pro. It doesn't matter if you're first or second team. In the six years that he was with the Colts, that's astonishing, considering that he was the lifeline of that team. I mean, he was a turnover-causing machine.
4, 2, 3, and 8 forced fumbles in his first 4 years in Indy.
Yeah, and he was a tackling machine. Had a pretty, I'd say, gruesome injury where he had, you know, both sides of his back essentially destroyed by nerves, made a comeback. Probably was getting phased out, I think, sooner than he expected, and probably felt like he was entitled to. He came back in shape and worked really hard to get back, and I think that's where he was pretty much really upset, because he made some sacrifices to get back on the field, and obviously they, you know, decided to, in their mind, give them the complimentary, or give him a complimentary release. Signed on with Philly, didn't really play for them, was out of the league last year, and I think he felt like it was time. And then, you know, I think they mended fences with him real quick because they knew the public backlash, because they featured him when he was in the box after his release, but it just didn't, never ended well, and his injuries was a big part of that.
And to that last point, that's a guy in Shaq Leonard who still did his Thanksgiving turkey giveaway with like 200 different meals given away to families the day he was released.
Yeah.
Like, he goes from Ursay and Ballard's office out to the community to still do his giveaway. By all accounts, a good dude. Yeah, one of those really guys that you wish, for his sake, the body would have held up.
Yeah, and I think that there was a story, he saved somebody from a car or something, like a car accident or something like that. I mean, yeah, he's a great human, was a great player. Just unfortunate sometimes the injuries and the type of injuries you have at that position. Obviously, I know all too well, stymied his career, but good for him and good for the Colts. You know, he's going to go down probably in their Ring of Fame or whatever they have in Indianapolis. He should eventually, because of the impact that he's had on and off the field. This him going in there won't be just on the field. It's off the field as well. And he's a staple in that community still, when he could very easily move back to Carolina or somewhere else and just kind of sit back and retire.
Still don't love him going by Shaq, but that's the choice he made. He's Darius Leonard to me, but he'll be Shaq Leonard when his name does go up in the Colts Ring of Honor. We'll go to break. Whiteboard Wednesday comes your way right after this on Old School.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses, or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.